Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald. Come on, get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Ghost fire.
Down deep inside of your soul. Jeremiah said it's just like fire shut up in my bones. Praise the Lord and welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living creator God. Now, right now, beloved, is the time to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, magnificent God, our Father. And words can never fully express the joy and the gratitude that we believers in Christ have for his beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior and Redeemer, none other than Jesus the Christ, right here on this fire gospel experience. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unequivocally, and yes, undeniably declared to be the only Redeemer. He is the only chosen one. He is the only acceptable Lamb of God that has the keys of life, death, hell, and the grave, and most of all, the gift of our beautiful, beautiful eternal life. Amen. Goes right there. Blessings to all of you beautiful souls, all of you beautiful people out there. I am your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson. And I'm here to bring you the most uplifting soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience, will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl. So that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus the Christ, I promise you. It worked for me, it worked for you, it worked for everybody that comes with a sincere heart and a confession to be made, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10. God's not a respected person, y'all. I'm telling you right now, he's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him. in spirit and in truth. We will be embracing for your spiritual consideration, as well as your sanctified supplement, from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 9 through 11 will be our scriptures of focus, where we read Moses shares the history of the great deliverance, provisions, and prosperity that God has given. In the appropriate response, there is to be an equally giving of gratitude back to God, which is to be done first of all to Him, talking about God, before all other giving is done, before we pay our bills, before we pay that loan. Yeah, we need to give our tithes and offerings to God. I know that's a hot subject, a lot of people fighting about it, but listen, there is so much modern day debate about tithing and offerings that are done in church worship services. Yet, when God brings His gifts and benefits to us, we will seldom see any refusal from anybody that's arguing about tithes and offerings now to say, no, God, I'm good. Keep your blessings. I'm not looking for. Ain't none of us going to refuse to receive the blessings from the mighty hand of God. So we're going to be talking about first things first. Amen. Let's give God His first place priority in our lives. Not just lip service, but sincerely from our heart. And listen, I have a young lady that has an amazing testimony. My special guest is here. Author, woman of God, Michelle Brown is here. We had to do some rescheduling, but she's here. And man, I just believe that today's interview with this amazing woman of God is going to be a blessing to so many of you listeners out there. I'm going to sit here and just be blessed automatically because I'm right here. I'm right in her face to be blessed. You hear me? So listen, you're going to be blessed as well. And I'm just grateful that you all are here to support Fire the Gospel Experience, and also my special guest, author, woman of God, Michelle Brown. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have church. We're going to do what we do right here. So listen, call a neighbor, friend, family member, coworker, somebody, Holy Spirit God's putting in your spirit right now. So get in touch with Brother Ron E. Jefferson. He's back on the internet, radio, doing his thing on Fire the Gospel Experience with woman of God, Michelle Brown. So listen, thank you, Holy Spirit God, for keeping us, for covering us, for putting up with us, Lord God, because, you know, sometimes we get shaky, but you stabilize us there, Holy Spirit God. Comfort us. You bless us. You encourage us. You keep us stable, Lord God, when we would fall away all by ourselves on our own without you. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit God, for setting that fire ablaze in our spirits and keep us keeping on in your precious name. Thank you, Holy Spirit God. We say amen, amen, amen in Jesus' name, and we thank you for lighting the fuse that's going to set the internet as well as the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire.
All right. be alright. Yeah. Listen here. If I put my trust in the Lord, I'll be alright. Yeah, I'll be alright. I'll be alright. Yeah.
My God, taking y'all back to some old school church with man of God, Larry Hill, talking about North Little Rock, Arkansas's very own Larry Hill, starting this fire gospel all music off right, just right, just right. Talk about, oh, Lord Jesus, I'll be all right. If I can just keep my hand in your hand, I promise you everything going to be all right. I'm not talking about what my daddy talked about. I don't know. I don't know what my mama talked about. I heard her praying. I'm talking about what I know for myself. I found out on my own that God is a keeper. Thank you, man of God. Larry Hill, keep doing your thing for Jesus. I promise you, you're going to be double blessed if you keep on singing like that. My special guest is here. Woo, Lord Jesus, y'all are in for a spiritual treat. My special guest, woman of God, Michelle Brown, is a wife, mother, sister, church choir member, and singer-songwriter. Did I mention singer-songwriter? From Temple Hills, Maryland, y'all. She works for the federal government as an operations research analyst. That means she can take care of business She set out on a new venture as a singer-songwriter back in 2013 and released her first single, Who Knows? And yes, 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 we have it. Yes, right here. To digital platforms in April 2016. It is available now on Amazon Music, CD Baby, iTunes, Radio Airplay, SoundCloud, Spotify, and YouTube. Lady Michelle Brown wrote and self-published her book, My Life Isn't Perfect, But My Testimony Is. I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through. Wow. In 2021. She entered her book in the 2023 Reader's Favorites International Book Contest and was awarded as a finalist in the nonfiction drama genre. Lady Michelle Brown's book is an accounting of the storms she encountered in her life during childhood and various seasons in adulthood. More importantly, it tells how she navigated through her storms and relied on God through her faith to make it to the other side of each traumatic experience. Praise the Lord right there, y'all. Her goal with this book is to reach readers by providing words of hope, faith, and encouragement to them through her experiences. She hopes this will in turn open up a safe space for others to find their voices by sharing their own stories. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, Lady Michelle Brown survived 30 years of heart failure. You hear me? 30 years! On June 30th, 2022, she received the ultimate gift and miracle in the form of a heart transplant. Lady Michelle Brown is still thriving and enjoying life to the fullest. She is currently preparing to write her next book, y'all, about her transplant heart surgery journey. My God, I'm feeling just so much of God's presence right now just from reading that young lady's bio, and now to hear her live testimony. My special guest, woman of God, Michelle M. Brown, is here, y'all, to bless us as Holy Spirit God leads her. Amen. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. What an amazing story you have to tell. Lady Michelle Brown, I am here to welcome you to Fire the Gospel Experience. Welcome, my dear sister. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing very well. How about you? How are you doing today?
I'm full of so much anticipation to hear your testimony. You have one of those like biblical miracle testimonies. You know, we'll talk about some of the things we've been through, but not all of them are worthy to be compared with some of the miraculous things that we read about in the Bible. But I think you're right in there, my dear sister. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us, what was your life like, Lady Michelle Brown, when you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ? Because we already know you love Jesus, all the things he's done for you.
Yes, I do love Jesus. And as far as when I came to Christ, you know, I don't remember a lot about how that transpired, other than I was a small child. And I started out, I mean, just being in the church around these saints and hearing them and watching them praise, that made me want to praise. And my grandmother started me out reading the Bible, I mean, long before I even started school. She's had me sit on that floor and just read. You know, it was like I had a nursery rhyme book on one side and I had the Bible on the other side. And, of course, not only was it the reading of the Bible and watching the saints praise, it was the music and the cymbals. I had a great aunt that played the cymbals. And from what everyone told me, because I don't remember, I was so small, but from what people told me, I was playing those cymbals just like her when I was real small.
Come on.
And
I know that's right.
So that gave me my inspiration. And it's funny that I think about those cymbals now, because when I go sing with my choir, I take my tambourine. And there's me and one other lady that's in the choir. We play the tambourine. And I never was really that good at it when I was younger. But for some reason, I can play it pretty good now. And so
okay.
I just get
all
it
right.
and I
all
just
right.
do the best I can with that. But yes, I getting back to the story about when I got saved, I was a young preteen, and I'm going to tell you a funny story. I read the book in high school about, it was a story, I'm sorry, by Langston Hughes called Salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that's the way we felt when we were growing up. Every summer we had the revival, and I grew up in the
yeah.
Church of God in Christ. So
mm-hmm.
we would go to the mourner's bench, and the same way that young man would say, oh, I'm going and I'm going to get saved, that's the way we were, because we were like, we wanted to please our grandparents, and
yeah,
we wanted
yeah.
to please God, and we wanted to do the right thing. So, yes, I got saved at a young age, and I actually got baptized in the creek.
Okay.
I think, I'm not sure exactly how old I was at that time. I think I was a preteen, but I got baptized in the creek. And, of
wow.
course, you know, when you're young and everything, I know there are some young folks that when they get saved, they pretty much continue to follow what they're supposed to do. And I did go to church and all of that. And then, but when I started my first year of college, I kind of stopped going to church, you know. And
yeah,
matter of
yeah,
fact,
yeah.
I kind of stopped for a while in my early 20s, you know, when people talk about church hurt, because there was an experience that I went through that I'm not going to get into, but it was an experience I went
okay.
through, and it wasn't an argument, but I just disagreed with the rationale behind the story of what happened to me. And so
mm-hmm.
that just made me, you know, question going to church. I didn't stop believing in God. I didn't stop praying, but I just stopped going to church for a while. But, of course,
yeah.
I picked back up going to church still in my early 20s because, you know, I was going to church after I gave birth to my son and that kind of thing. So I know God has always had a hand in my life. And even
always.
When I called myself in that state where I was not going to church, I mean, I would go to the club, but he'd never, you know how they tell you some people, they stray far away from their salvation and from church after they, you know, grow up and so forth.
Yeah.
I didn't stay that far away. I mean, I'm thankful that he had enough pull and my grandmother had enough prayers that went up that I did not go down such a bad path, you know.
I got you.
I mean, I'm not saying I didn't sin. I sinned, but I didn't go down the path of, like, the things that happened to me, I could have been on drugs, but I didn't have that
yeah.
desire. I could have been an alcoholic, but I didn't have that desire. So I
mm-hmm.
feel like that's a strong pull as far as my upbringing and God having his hand on my life.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, let me jump in real quick, because that's a good subject that we can kind of deviate to real quick, if you don't mind. You said that there was some church
okay.
hurt involved, and yes, that had been very popular a while back. It's kind of toned down a little bit. We don't hear so much about church hurt. I think a couple people wrote a few books about it and what have you. But it's funny because we'll talk about church hurt, but then we'll have job hurt. And like you said, we go to the club, we get club hurt, but we get up and go to work that next morning, and then we
right.
go to the club, we go to the club until we either get wore out or burned out, one of the two. Why is it, do you think, people are so sensitive to church hurt and so quick to abandon the possibility that that was just one incident, when we'll overlook other incidences at those places that I just mentioned and keep going? Have you had any thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, I can't speak to other people, but as it
yeah.
relates to me,
mm-hmm.
for me, it was, I expect, and maybe I should not have expected, but I expect those things in the world. I expect
okay.
to get
that's
that
good.
Hurt
that's
from
good.
The world.
That's,
but
okay, that's
when,
good. I like that.
When you're in church. I'm sorry, but when you're in church with family, especially because it was mostly my
yeah.
family in church, and
okay.
they taught us one way, and that one incident that happened to me, I knew that that was not right, and they were like taking up for this person, and
I guess.
You know, and I just kind of was like, that's not based on what you taught us and based on what I know in my being, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to, I was like, I got to get away from here.
I'm gonna tell you, Lady Michelle, that's a good point, and that's another perspective. I appreciate you bringing to the conversation, because you added on another piece of perspective that helped me, because whenever this type of conversation comes up, I always try to tell people, I said, you have to understand, church is some of the same people that we went to the clubs with. It's just that we made a decision that we want a different slant on life. We want, more spiritual intake into our lives. So it's not a place of perfect people. It's a place where people are striving for protection, but we are still bringing our personalities with us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, yes, that's good. I'm glad you said that. We are prepared to deal with certain behaviors in the world, but when we come to church, we do have a higher expectation. That's good. That's good. So, listeners, listen, if you going through church hurt and you have a situation going on, listen, we're here to tell you that those things do happen. Don't let that run you away from the church, because the strategy of our enemy, Satan the devil, is to see if he can find somebody in church, either a perpetrator that is not really a Christian but just playing the role, or maybe someone that has not grown up enough, to use these people to push people out of church with rude behavior or some nonsense, just to get you to feel some kind of way about the church. So don't fall for that trick. Find somebody that you can trust, you can go to. Go to the pastor, go to one of the associate ministers, and share what your story is. And I promise you, you'll get a better explanation, so you don't have to carry that church hurt from the church or stay in church and still be hurt and then have a bad attitude. I'm sorry, Lady Michelle, go ahead. That conversation comes up, and I'm trying my best to bring some sort of answers and some resolution to people that are out there that are hurting because of church. And like you said, it does sometimes involve family. Family is supposed to love us, that's true, but sometimes our family can sometimes be our worst persons that we trusted the most, that can cause the deepest pain because they are closest to us.
Yes, because, you know, again, that was something that I knew was not right. And it's like, you taught me one way and then you're telling me something different, like I'm supposed to overlook.
Yeah.
And that situation, it was like, why don't you correct them and let them know that was not right, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, because it was just a violation. And I, you know, but again, I did not have any will ill towards the family member or anything like that. It was just one of those things where I really had to step away. But at the same time, I am so glad that God delivered me and that I did not continue to move on with that church hurt, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, what you were saying about there are people out there who are still holding on to that church hurt. I know someone who's doing the same thing, and it's like, I pray for that person, and that person is very close to me. I pray for that person, and
it's
nothing that I could say to help them see. And so I have to get on my knees and say, God, I'm praying that you deliver that person and that you show that person who you are.
Amen.
And that person, and
Amen.
Help that person to forgive and have a heart of forgiveness.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a,
because
that's a, that's
you
a
know
plan.
I'm not walking in their because I'm not walking in their shoes. So the way they feel and the way they carry it, and the way it with you know the way they deal with it, it's totally different from the way I would deal with it. So you know, we can't judge.
Intercessory prayer is a powerful weapon that we need to utilize with every opportunity that we have. We step in, we try to be a motivator, we try to be someone, a listener, a mentor, a counselor, if we feel capable and called to do so. But that is so wise for you, woman of God, Michelle, to be able to say, you know what, I think I have fulfilled my required place in this situation. Let me step back and let me intercede on this person to God on their behalf. And that is wonderful. I think if we could understand that we don't have to try to be Superman, Superwoman, spiritually speaking, and try to do everything, we might just be in a person's life for a season or even for a circumstance. Knowing when to say when is just good godly wisdom.
Yes.
And then what happened, Lady Michelle? I'm listening.
Okay, what happened later as it relates to my spiritual journey, I wound up having to go out on leave after, you know, because when I turned 24, mm-hmm. which is when I, you know, had started back going to church. Gave birth to my son, and that's when I was diagnosed with heart failure.
Wow.
And it's funny, during that time, I think at the time that I was carrying him, I'm not sure if I was going to church or not, but I know I was praying. When I went into the hospital, this is before I was diagnosed, I went into the hospital, and this is in my book. So I went to the hospital. I had to get induced, because my mm-hmm. heart, I was having problems with my heart, and no one really understood why, and neither did I. So they just recommend that my pregnancy be induced. So in there, when we got to the point where I was about to give birth, I felt like I was not going to make it. But I didn't tell my husband or anyone. I didn't tell anyone else that.
Wow.
And so all I kept doing was I just kept praying. I kept praying. And I had understood that, you know, people said that, you know, when they give birth, it's a hard thing and you're closer to death than you would ever be or something like that. I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
I really felt like that. I really felt like that. But all I kept thinking was, God, I want to live and take care of my baby. And
my
so,
God.
Yes, because I was breathing hard and I was like, what is going on? Why, you know, but at the time, you know, no one really knew what was going on with my heart. So I wound up having my son and I went home the very next day and I was sick when I went home. Coughing up blood, everything. Sick when I went home.
Oh, my God.
And so, but, you know, the whole time, I'm like, Lord, help me. Just help me, God. And I wound up, when I went back to the hospital, I was diagnosed with the heart failure. And I had to stay in the hospital a couple of weeks. So my baby was home and with my husband and his family, and I was in the hospital.
Now, help me understand, Lady Michelle, because... Us lay people, when we hear someone say heart failure, we thinking that that's the end of life. So you were living with ongoing heart failure. Mean what? That you were susceptible to a potential heart just ceasing to beat, or you were heart was beating lesser than I guess what is expected for life per minute or whatever the measurements is?
It's the function of the heart. It was the function of the heart. So they call it, I don't want to get too technical, but there's a percentage that the heart is supposed to work. And the lower that percentage is, the lower that percentage is, the weaker the heart is.
Okay.
And at the time, I did not know what was going on, and I was asking for literature to read, and they would say, do you really want to read it? Because they didn't have anything really updated. And the information that they shared with me, I think it was from some literature from back in the 70s. And so I was believing that I might not live to see past my son's fourth birthday. But I didn't want to believe it. I was like, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to accept that. And the thing about it is my mom died of heart failure.
Oh, my God.
And I was 3 years old at the time. So you know, it was full circle because I was always afraid, because my mom was 21. So I was always afraid to turn 21. And then once I hit 24, after having baby, I said, oh, there it is. You know, now I think I have what my mom had, you know.
Oh, have mercy. Wow.
But again, I just kept praying. And at some points I had like tubes in me and I was like writing, like saying, okay, when am I going to go home? You know, so I pretty much kept the faith. It was hard, but I kept the faith.
Yeah.
That's why I say I believe, I'm so thankful of the Christian upbringing that I had, because they taught me to have
faith. Amen.
They taught me
That's very much where I was going with Proverbs 22:6. That says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. Because once you made your reconciliation with God and gave your life back to Christ at those early 20s, that was the preparation that you needed to have the faith that you said. You kept praying to God, God, I want to stay here a little bit longer. So I can see how grandmama, way back when you was just a little bitty girl, reading those books, she didn't know, you didn't know, but God knew that your grandmother and your family circle was preparing you for that and whatever else you may have to go through. And isn't that true for every single one of us?
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Definitely.
So, woman of
God,
at that point, at your lowest point, what were your thoughts? Was there any particular scripture verses that came to mind? Because my last scripture verse is Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I had to hold on to that because there were some dark seasons in my life, and I was just so confused that God wouldn't fix stuff that I prayed for. My faith hit the bottom. And I went down the dark path that you and I talked about before we went live, because I felt like God wasn't hearing me. And I was so used to people not hearing me that when I was deceived to believe that God wasn't hearing me, that gave me some heart failure, spiritually speaking, if you don't mind me saying that.
Well, I'm going to tell you at that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to tell you at that time, I wasn't thinking of a particular scripture. I just kept calling on Jesus. That's all I knew.
There you go. Okay.
And I mean, it's, you know, it's further along in my, as far as like the next, well, I'm not going to say the next, but the more recent milestones, you know, as far as the health situations that I've had to deal with, is when I really was focusing on some scriptures. And I don't want to go too far yet, because I'm just, you know, unless you want me to skip ahead to where I'm talking
about. No, ma'am. No,
I want you to just
like we talked about before we went live, I want you to just let it flow as God give it to you. But what I want you to do right now is to just settle yourself and prepare to release it as God has given it to you, because you have blessed us already so much with just what you've already testified, what you've already been through. Because the majority of us is not going to come close to anything like what you've been through, woman of God. But to hear you speak victory, to hear you speak perseverance, to hear you speak tenacity over your faith, it increases our faith, just because we're clinging to what you went through, spiritually speaking, preparing us for what come May, what yet come May. And then just like you sang in the song, listen, who knew? God did.
Thought I was in the hospital, under the doctor's knife, hoping you'd hear my prayer, intervene and guide his hand. I knew you'd be right on time. You sent your blessing, and it was your plan.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family your friends and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Fire, fire, fire. We are your gospel experience evangelistic internet radio, where we are reaching out to everyone listening to this broadcast to give God his just due praise. We honor God first and foremost above all things right here, right now, not just today, just because we're on the radio, but this is an outpouring and a manifestation of the lifestyle that we are living. So we like this every single day. We ain't shy and we ain't ashamed. And right now, we're just trying to dry these tears from our eyes. Lord Jesus, my special guest, woman of God, Michelle Brown. She just got through giving us an amazing testimony prior to the anointed music that she just sang. I told y'all in the bio that she is a singer-songwriter, and she just shared her testimony with that song, Who Knew? Lord God, I need some more tissue up in here. Woman of God, why you do us like that? Thank you, thank you. You touched our hearts.
Well, do you want to know the story behind that song?
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Okay. All right. Well, this is several years after, you know, I've been diagnosed with the heart failure. And at this particular time, I had been wearing a defibrillator.
Mm-hmm.
So it was time to get the defibrillator replaced, because I think it was something wrong with it, or wasn't, or they wanted to give me something that was better. And they realized that they needed to replace my wires, because the wires had been in for like several years, and I think the wires were defective. So at the time, the doctor told me, he says, I'm going to cut the wires. He said, but there's one thousandth chance that if I cut the wires, I may cut when I cut the wires, I may cut your heart. And he says, I cut your heart, I'm going to have to do open heart surgery. Repair. And so I looked at him and I was afraid. And so, I was afraid. And so I went home that evening and I said, okay, I know I have to go in here for this procedure. And I started praying, because I was so scared, and I started praying and said, Lord, I'm just going to start writing this song. And when I come out, I'm going to finish it. And so that's how Who Knew came about. And my thought was, who knew how he would bless me? Who knew what he would see in me? Little old me. Because I felt like I was just, you know that song, I'm a Nobody? I'm just a nobody. It's not a Williams Brothers. I can't remember all the words
trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody.
Yes. That's kind of where I was going with that, you know.
Wow.
And that I felt like God listened to me. He had listened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And but it turned out that he touched his hand, I'm talking about he touched the surgeon's hand. He did not cut me. He did not cut my heart. And the anesthesiologist had come back to me after the procedure, and he said, the doctor kept cutting and cutting and cutting, but he didn't cut you.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. He was like, it was like hard. He just kept cutting and cutting and cutting. And so I was like, I thought that was miraculous. And the funny thing about him, I didn't know anything about this doctor at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just went purely based on the recommendation of my cardiologist. And, you know, I just said, well, I'm just going to trust. And I found out a year later about who this doctor was. They put out little pamphlets on different doctors within that, I think it's the organization called MedStar. So they were talking about various doctors. So they brought up, this doctor was a doctor that was featuring in their magazine. And it turns out that this doctor was the same doctor that operated on former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Are you serious?
So I'm serious.
Wow. Serious. Okay.
So I was
God sent you a special specialist.
Yes.
Wow. That's just like God. He put you in the right place in the right time. and with the right people. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And that's why I tell folks, I was like, if you don't believe if you don't believe there's a God, I can tell you that there is. And sometimes, you know, even though I say that to people, sometimes they don't, unless they have that personal experience themselves.
Yeah.
You know, where they can identify where God has really stepped in there for them, they may not see it. But then there's others that as soon as I open my mouth, they like, I see it. I believe.
Well, that's one thing I learned, Lady Michelle, is that I don't debate, I don't argue with people that have their own different religious beliefs and theology, because there's nothing that they could ever possibly say that could challenge my experience with God. They can take some scriptures and twist them around all they want to, but there's nothing you can say when we have totally exhausted every resource, avenue, thought, and imaginations that we could ever possibly come up with and still came up with nothing but zeros. And we said, you know what? I'm flat on my back. I'm down and out. If God don't come and fix this, and I'm going to pray like I never prayed before, there's nothing else that I have as a solution. And that is the thing right there that people on the outside of Jesus Christ don't get. They don't understand. They think they can get us with clever word usage when they try to misuse the scriptures, but there's nothing they can say that can change the experience. I'm talking about the personal experience that God put his hand on us.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Amen.
And, you know, some people talk about, you know, when God speaks to them. And I remember when I was in undergraduate school, I took this religion class. It was one of the courses that was required for my degree program, because I went to an HBCU. And
which one?
Well, I started off at Fayetteville State University, but I wound up finishing at the University of the District of Columbia.
Okay.
So, but I took my religion course at the University of the District of Columbia. And so, you know, I had always heard, you know, growing up about when people say, you know, God spoke to them. And, you know, and they had different testimonies about that, you know. I know there was one testimony that I had heard that this person was a smoker. And they said that God knocked them to the floor, and they could say, I think this, if I recall, if I remember hearing it right, they actually saw like smoke or something, a cloud of smoke or something, and God was speaking to them through that smoke. And if I hope I'm saying it right, because I was young when I heard it. And that's how they were delivered from cigarettes. That's how they were delivered from it. And so going back to my class, I asked the instructor. He said he grew up in the Hindu faith, but he converted to Christianity. And
praise
he says, God speaks in different ways. And he said it could be a whisper, it could be this. He's just saying there's no one way that God, you know, reaches a particular individual. And so
I believe it.
Because I was thinking, you know, certain things happen. I'm like, is God speaking to me? And so I've had occasions where God spoke to me, but I didn't hear an audible voice. And so there was one, and I wrote a song about this. There was one particular song, I mean, one particular time, I had dropped my husband off at subway station. And I was on my way back home. And I wanted to stop by the bank to get some money out, the ATM machine. And so I wanted to go to my bank, because at that time, if you went to any other bank, you would have to pay a fee. And so something was like it came in my consciousness. It was like, don't stop by your bank, stop by the bank close to your home. And okay. I'm not saying a word. I'm just driving. And in my mind, I'm fussing with what I'm being told. I'm like, and like I said, I'm not saying a word.
It don't make sense.
I'm like, I don't want to pay that fee. But it was so compelling that
Jesus.
I said, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop by the bank near my home. I'm going to pay the fee. And so that's what I did. And I went home and I stayed home for a little while. And then I decided, okay, well, I want to go to the grocery store. So I got in the car, and the grocery store that I was going to was near the bank in the same shopping center where the bank that I wanted to stop, my bank, where I wanted to stop in the beginning. So I'm driving up, and I never forget where the bank was situated. There were two grocery stores. There was a Safeway on one side and a Shoppers Food Warehouse on the other side. And the bank was right there. And as I got there to make the turn at the light, it was a left-hand turn, I saw a man laying on the ground next to a Brink security truck in front of the bank.
See there?
And I'm driving past and I'm shaking. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, God. I was trying to tell him, you know. And so I pulled into a parking space. I went into the Shoppers and I asked everybody, what's going on? What happened? And they said it was a Brink security guard. He got robbed. They shot him. And they said it was three men, and they talked about it on the news as well. Three men, I think they were in suits or something, and they robbed him. And that man died that day. He died that day.
Wow.
Yeah, he died.
See there. And see there, that small, still voice just wouldn't leave you alone, and we'd be arguing about service charges. Service charges. God trying to save our lives, and we worrying about service charges. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Then there was another occasion where he spoke to me. I had been working. I started off my career as an auditor. And so I was working at this CPA firm. And I had been working there for a little while, and I got sick, and I had to be hospitalized. And so I had stayed out for about a month. And I stayed out. I could have went back sooner, but I stayed out because I had to make follow-up visits. So I went back, and I started working on a project off-site. And so I want to say about 2 or 3 days after I had been working on that at that project, my supervisor told me that the partners of the firm wanted me to come back to the office. So I went back to the office, and they were like, okay, it was some folks in the room. It was the HR. I think it was two of the managing partners, and I think there might have been one of the team leaders that or supervisors that would assign, send us on the assignments for the project and so forth. And so the partner looked at me and said, if you don't straighten up, we're going to fire you in 2 weeks. I'm going to fire you.
What?
And I'm looking around, and nobody's telling me nothing. And I'm like, what? And so I'm thinking he's talking about he's going to fire me because I've been out of work. Because private sector, they're tough. And I figured maybe because I've been out of work so long, maybe that's why they're going to fire me. Because no one had told me anything about my work performance.
Okay.
And so I looked, and I started crying because I was like, I need this job. I really need this job, you know. And so HR didn't say anything. And then the partner said, if you don't straighten up in 2 weeks, I'm going to fire you. It doesn't matter. If you don't go on an assignment, I'm going to fire you. If you're sitting here and you don't go anywhere, I'm going to fire you. And then the guy that assigns the project, he said, and I'm not going to send you anywhere. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? And so I got upset and I just left, and I called my husband. I said, come pick me up. So he came and picked me up. And he came and picked me up. And so I told him what was going on. And I was so angry and upset because I couldn't say anything back to them. And I was hitting my husband on his arm. He told me, you were hitting me on my arm, you know. And so anyway, I went back home, and I was just like, I'm scared to go back to work. And so I did go back to work, but I wrote a letter, and I said, because I felt like I was going through PTSD or something, because I was had so much anxiety.
Oh, Lord.
Because I thought any minute they're going to walk in here and they're going to fire me. And so I would take my letter with me. Yes, I would take my letter with me every day. And so one day I just couldn't take it, and I just went on and handed my letter in, and I quit. And so the good thing about it is God still took care of me, because I was temping and I had a job every day. Sometimes I was double booked. And so I didn't have the insurance, the health insurance, but I was able to continue to make money. And so as time went by, I used to run into one of the admins that worked at the farm, and she would tell me, and she was a believer as well, and she would tell me, well, we're down to X amount of people.
Oh,
so
my God.
The company kept dwindling. And then one day she told me, okay, they asked departments to leave. And so I'm like, something's going on here. And see, the backstory with this is that people would be there working, and then all of a sudden they wouldn't be there anymore, and we wouldn't know what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, so and so got fired, or so and so quit. We didn't know why. And so once that happened, I was like, well, maybe this was my time. Maybe, you know, I'm the one they're gonna fire next, or whatever. But anyway, time went on, and I just, you know, I went on and did my thing, and but what I wanted to do was I wanted to get back at them. So I went to the EEO trying to find out if I had a case. They said I didn't have a case. And so I wound up, I had written these letters, and I was going to send them to the principal partners. They were in New York City. And but something kept keeping me from sending the letters. I could not send the letters. So I went to church on Sunday. My husband went with me, and we were praying. And all of a sudden, no one read the scripture. I had not read the scripture myself for a while, but in my ears, I kept hearing, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Vengeance is mine. I will repay." While we're praying.
Uh-oh.
And so it convicted me so bad that I just said, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you, Lord.
Yeah,
I hear you. I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
And
people
were looking at me. They were looking at me and like, what's wrong? You okay? You okay? And I never told them what was going on. And so I went home that evening, and my husband says, well, are you going to send the letter? And I said, no, I'm not sending the letter. God said vengeance is his.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I knew, okay, God was speaking to me. I got to listen. He's going to take care of it. I know about a year later, I was watching 10 o'clock news, local news, and I saw their partner on television.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not a CPA anymore, or at least he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
At least he wasn't introduced as a CPA. He was like promoting this boxer, and it's some boxer no one had heard of really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened after that, but I was just like, wow. I just thought that was, you know, and so I wrote this song some years later, and I didn't talk about like what actually happened, other than I mentioned the part about vengeance was mine, said the Lord, that kind of thing. And I talked about like how God was speaking to me, and I kept saying no, but then I obeyed and that kind of thing. And but the name of the song is When God Speaks to You. And I sing a line about, say, when God speaks to you, just listen. this listen. But that's another testament of one, having faith, and two, listening and obeying to what you
well,
hear.
My God. My God, my God. You're going to have to send me that song, Lady Michelle, so that you can bless
well,
us.
I haven't released it. I haven't released it. That's probably going to be, when I'm ready to start working on music, that's probably going to be one of the songs.
Well, I sure would appreciate if you would make sure that you send the MP3 or however, whatever version you want to send it to us so that we can support you, because you, my dear, have blessed us richly. You have a tremendous story to tell, and I'm not sure how our paths crossed. I know I spend a substantial amount of time in between my weekend broadcasts on Facebook looking for common friends that are believers, that have a story, that have a testimony, that have a ministry, and that's how you and I met. It was not coincidental. It was not incidental at all. It was predetermined by God so that you can come to this platform that God gave me to facilitate you people of God that have amazing, miraculous stories to tell. We need to hear stories such as yourself, woman of God. We need to read your book, and I'm going to ask you, woman of God, before you leave us, if you would just let us know how we can continue to support you. If someone want to purchase your book, if someone wanted to invite you to come to their church service, ladies retreat, revival, how can you be contacted? How can your book be purchased, as well as all of your social media outlets? Because we want to continue to support you, woman of God.
Okay, well, my Instagram is at Michelle B. Gospel. That's MICHELLEB, as in boy, gospel. Facebook is the same, Michelle B. Gospel. And I have an email address, MMM, that's Mary, 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 C as in Charlie, Brown, at gmail.com. And my book can be purchased.
No, I was going to say, so that email is the best way to contact you for possible speaking engagements?
It's probably better to hit me up with the Instagram, send me a message or whatever on Instagram or Facebook.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your book can be purchased?
My book can be purchased at Amazon.com. It can be purchased as a paperback or an ebook version.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
soon I'm going to be working on an audio version.
All right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, and it can also be purchased online through Barnes & Noble.
Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you, Lady Michelle Brown, if you would let me know whatever arrangements I need to make to get my autographed copy. Send me a message, and I sure would appreciate that for my library.
Okay, okay. Sounds good. I can do that.
Amen, amen. You bless this woman of God, and if there's any final words of wisdom, inspiration, and encouragement that you would like to share with us until your next return visit back to this Fire Gospel Experience, we sure would appreciate it.
Well, I know my favorite scripture is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 through 7, which is trust in the Lord with all thine heart
yes.
and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path.
Yes. Yes,
that
yes, yes.
is one thing that I have really grown to try to keep in my being, because, you know, trust is, that's a hard thing for me, because that's something that, you know, I dealt with from childhood. I think ever since my mom died,
mm-hmm.
trust was a big thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
yeah.
And a lot of it was tied to fear. A lot of it's tied
yes.
to fear. Can't trust God from fear.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. The other thing that I'm really learning is waiting
okay.
on the Lord.
Patience.
patience, yes. I mean, people tell me that I'm very patient. And I think I am patient to an extent, but there are other ways that I see that I'm not patient. And, like, especially if it's something that I really want to do, or I'm going through a trial, and I'm like, Lord, you know. But
they can't
I'm
see
learning.
They can't see your insides. They can't see your insides.
Exactly. So I'm learning myself, and that's the thing. The other part that I want to leave everyone with is, and this is something that I experienced when I was waiting on my heart. I knew that I was not a perfect person, and I still am not a perfect person. And I try to do the right thing, but I'm thankful that, because I've always asked God to show me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to be too high and mighty that I don't see when I'm wrong, because I don't want to miss a blessing, and I don't want to miss my opportunity to be, you know, to go to heaven or whatever. So, or
Amen.
Anything
Amen.
That any blessing that God has in store for me. So, I definitely don't want to be the type of person that would hurt somebody else's feelings and that kind of thing. I want to know about that because I want to, you know, reconcile. So when I was waiting on my heart, you know, the fact that I was being blessed to even be able to for God to keep me like that, you know, I was like, well, God, I'm not perfect. And it was like he spoke to me and said, you did what you did. Like it was the fact that even though I might have not prayed as long or as many eloquent prayers as I've heard other people pray, or maybe I've not spent as much time with God as people say. You know, some people say, oh, you need to spend at least, you know, get up first thing in the morning and spend this time and that time. And I'm like, I feel guilty because I let other things get in the way. But
yes,
he let me know that because I did take time out, that I even thought about it, that even if it wasn't a lot of time, the fact that I did is what, you know, was good enough, that I was good enough. He let me know I was good enough.
Amen.
And so
I'm going to tell you
that I'm just saying, just, you know, do the best that you can. As long as I feel like as long as you are sincere and truthful, you know, I think, you know, of course we all have to grow, but I believe as long as you are sincere and truthful and you try your best to do the right thing.
Amen.
And try to do God's will.
Yes.
That you'll be on the right path.
Well, if you don't mind me sharing with you spiritually what Holy Spirit God just gave me, what Holy Spirit God had done for you physically, undeniably, is show you that over a 30-year period of what the doctors call heart failure was actually God's heart. He put your heart in his hands for 30 years. He kept your heart beating, healthy. He protected your heart from the diagnosis that the doctors had customarily assumed would happen to you. But spiritually, what that says to everyone else that have not gone through what you've gone through, Lady Michelle Brown, is that God keeps our heart from failing. If we'll just trust and believe that God has his hands protecting and keeping our heart. Woman of God, I appreciate you so much. I'm looking forward to whatever kingdom collaboration God has for you and I will continue to pray for you, support you. You could just might as well just call me your brother and your friend and just leave it like that now. and I'm going to bless you right now because you said my husband at least 4 times and didn't call his name. So I know you was getting ready to call his name right now. So go right ahead and just give your husband your strength, your right hand, your best friend, going to give him a shout out.
My husband is Michael Brown.
Michael
I want to
Brown.
Give him a shout out. I love him. And I just, you know, he has, I tell you, he has been a trooper through this whole thing. I mean, especially in the very beginning, all the doctor's visits that he took me to in and out of the state.
Well, your husband was representing God spiritually as his hand. He was using your husband as his hand. While he covered you spiritually, he was using your husband and the doctors and those people praying for you. That's what I mean when I'm talking about in God's hand. He has a spiritual hand that covers us for spiritual things, but he uses earthbound people, doctors, lawyers, whoever God ordained to keep us. They are there, and there's no devil in hell that can do nothing about it. Woman of God, I appreciate you. If there's anything I can do to support you and your ministry and whatever it is, please give me a call. If I find out now that you got something going on and you didn't call me, we're going to have to sit down and have a one-on-one spiritual conversation, because I thought you was my spiritual friend, my sister in Christ. Amen? How do you like that?
I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's all I ask. Woman of God, we appreciate you for joining us on this Fire Gospel Experience. We look forward to having you back as soon as you're ready. We'll save a spot for you. Amen?
Amen.
Woman of God, author, singer, songwriter, and miracle recipient from God Almighty, Woman of God, Michelle Brown, was here on this Fire Gospel Experience, and she blessed us, y'all. She blessed us real good. Amen. Amen. Go to our Facebook page, Michelle Brown. She's one of my Facebook friends. I am so grateful for her. And get the information for her book. I'm just sure you'll be blessed by it. I'm looking forward to getting my copy as well. And listen, it's just what we do. We support one another as brother and sisters in Christ, because this is how God expects us as the people of God to do what we do. You take what you have as a blessing and use it to God's glory and to someone else's benefit, and you watch how your spirit will mature and grow in the knowledge and in the similitude of God Almighty. Amen. Goes right there. You tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience. We're getting ready to have some show enough church right here, right here. Here's man of God, Ricky Paul, giving God praise, because I told you at the beginning of every Fire Gospel Experience, that's what we do. We give God praise first and foremost. And then we find spiritual solutions to the dilemmas and the circumstances and the seasons that we go through, so that when we come out of those dark seasons, those difficult days, those people that were right there with you going through will be the very same ones that will celebrate with you, giving God praise, because God brought us through as Lord and King. Thank you, God.
Bless your name, Lord. We bow down before you to glorify you.
God of the morning, God of the night, shade in the noon, God of my life, mover of mountains, Lord of the seas, maker of beauty, your glory we see, Lord, we praise you, we adore you, Lord, we magnify your name, Lord, we bow down, Lord, we worship, cause your love remains the same. You are Lord, you are King, you created everything, you are Lord,
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Reverend Red, the pastor and founder of Power of the Gospel Ministries and also Mighty King Basketball Youth Ministry.
Hello, I am Lady Crystal, success coach, five-time Amazon best-selling author, podcaster, publisher, clubhouse host, and speaker.
And we are the humble hosts of the Power Lift broadcast on Positive Power 21 Christian Media Radio with our brother, CEO, and founder, Jerry Roy.
And you can find Power Lift podcast every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please check us out on Spotify. Look for Red, R-E-D-D, and Crystal Henry.
Our virtual ministry is on Facebook under Red, R-E-D-D, Red Henry, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., and also on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We're looking forward to you to join us.
Check us out, powerofthegospel.org for more information, or crystalhenry.net.
You are listening to
Fire!
The Gospel Experience, where the
fire
is moving, uplifting, and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music.
I'm inviting you to let the light of Jesus Christ shine bright in your life. So by all means, keep it tuned in to
Fire!
The Gospel Experience, which will uplift your spirit and give you new strength.
Be a blessing to your family, friends, and co-workers by telling them about
Fire!
On this station, it's all about
Kingdom building.
Father God, I love the way you love me. You love me like no other. Father, you look beyond my faults and you see my need. You look into my heart, you see me. And I love the way you love me. Gave all my sins, and you cleansed me from within. You showered your love upon me, and you set my sinful soul free. And I can breathe again, Lord, I can live again. Lord, you gave me a reason to smile. Knocks me to my knees. Then you bring out the sun. My past, you never throw it in my face. safe place to dwell, and you save my soul from a sinner's hell. I love the way you love me. There's something about the way you love me. You love me. You love me. There's something about the way.
Sounds of Woman of God, Robin Birch on this Fire Gospel Experience, breaking it down, talking about the love of God. That's just a beautiful thing when you experience the true intimacy that comes from a spiritual relationship with the Creator God who made us. Amen. Goes right there. Y'all already know I'm about to take y'all to some old school church. Here's Apostle John L. Raglan III. Surely, surely, surely. That says it all.
Well, surely, 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 oh, surely my cup
running over in the name of the Lord.
Yeah, surely, 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 oh, surely my cup
running over in the name of the Lord.
Come on, yeah. Come on, put your hands together.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I don't remember the day. I don't remember the hour. But I know one thing for sure. He sure saved me, and I'm so glad about it. I promise you, if you catch me at Walmart, if you catch me at Piggly Wiggly, man, I ain't ashamed. I ain't going to sit up here and act like I ain't saved just because I'm outside of the church world. Don't you know we do our best work? Don't you know we shine brightest when we leave the church house, because we've been fueled up spiritually to just do that. Go out into the uttermost parts of the earth and shine bright for Jesus. And that's no light that we produce on our own. No, we're just instrumental vessels, y'all. We just let the Holy Spirit of God shine through us. We're just making ourselves available to be there where God wants us to be. Like I always say, the best ability is availability. We're discussing Old Testament Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 9 and 11. Talking about first things first. Talking about some things that people just seem like they try to avoid. So your boy, your brother in Christ, don't mind talking about it. First things first, y'all. Deuteronomy 26 and 9 says, "And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey." Thank you, Jesus. "And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me." Which thou, O Lord, hast given me. I had to repeat that for the people in the back. "And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God." Notice that the gift was given before the worship. "And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you." That's good right there. That's good. That's good. There is a modern day saying that we show our sincerity and commitment to whatever we provide for with our time and with our resources. We seem to make and think that this social theology is well intended and applied until it comes to the church. Why is it so absurd to believe that not only does the church reserve and deserve the full rights to seek financial support and stability from its members, when worldwide membership in all other places of business, social, educational, and yes, economical establishments reserve monetary donations and requirements as well? More importantly, could it be that some in and out of the realms and walls of religious domiciles resist the commandment coming from God? Could it just simply be that we creations of God prefer to honor the human creations rather than the holy commandments? Financially, in this case, then the requirements of God. So it may just simply be a God issue above and beyond a money issue. Every generation seems to grow more defiant and antagonistic against God and all the institutions, establishments, and requirements from the Most High God. Deuteronomy 26 and 9 again says, "And he brought forth us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that flows with milk and honey." It would seem that the African descent, American-born people, would be the ones who truly understand what it means to be delivered from bondage. Having endured over 300 years of legalized American slavery, it's amazing to note and remember that the church was the foremost places for survival mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Yes, yes. It would seem that our churches now would be the bedrocks of nearly every African descent, American-born family and person. But, like many other ethnicities who have endured inhumane hardships, when freedom rang, so too did the obligation to show membership and even semi-regular support financially as well. Like many individuals who had some spiritual conversions, how they only felt the need for continuation in spiritual living ceased when the prison doors opened for them to reclaim freedom now on their own terms. Verse 10 says, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. As we have grown into a large minority in this land of so-called liberty, we are still locked into veins of second-class citizenship and servitude through inequality in education, employment, housing, medical health care, and many, many other areas. Yet, many of us, that's people of all ethnicities, will still settle to struggle and get by and get along as best we can, even while continually sinking into pods of deeper desperation and unfairness all around us. So, confusing as it is, rather than appealing to the God who set us free by being benevolent with our financial gifts known as tithes and offerings, all which are well established in the Bible by people of the Jewish heritage many, many centuries ago, them having endured their own seasons and periods of slavery from cruel and harsh taskmasters. This ain't nothing new. Verse 11 says, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Talking about first things first here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Just trying to set some things straight, because we get blessed and then we get stingy. I don't understand it. If you was to bless somebody of your own free will because it's just in your heart, and then that person that you blessed turned around and act like you ain't did a doggone thing, how would you feel? Okay, now. Now you're feeling God. Yeah, that's just how God is feeling about some of us. And we need to get up out of that and do like woman of God Nicole Street is trying to show some appreciation for the love of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. I promise y'all, I didn't plan it this way, but Holy Spirit God said we just going to go old school traditional gospel up in here, and I'm just tapping my toes, and I'm bobbing my head, and I'm having flashbacks like when I was 15 years old back in the day when that's how we sang back there in the streets of Detroit, back there in the churches over on the central side and the west side and the east side. I'm talking about Linwood Avenue, Puritan, 6 Mile, yeah, James Cousins, all of that. Amen. It goes right there. Thank you, woman of God, Nicole Street, because it's the love of Jesus that keeps us going on and on and on. We're still discussing First Things First right here on this Fire Gospel Experience, and we ain't shame and we ain't taking nothing back. The scriptures tell us where we left off. Verse 11 says, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee. That's right. Rejoice that the Lord thy God hath given. Those are key words right there. Unto thine house, thou and the Levite, talking about the pastor, and the stranger that is among you. Talking about somebody that God may send your way just so that you can take the blessing that God blessed you with and bless somebody else. Don't you know that every blessing God gives us is not meant to be kept? I probably should have saved that for my final word, but y'all got a bonus right there. We have seemingly become a generation of people suffering from self-induced amnesia, not careful to stay mindful of the excruciating days of who it was that delivered us from all of our pain and sorrow. Being guilty by God of keeping the benefits that he, God, provided to us. Being the very first of our beneficiary income by withholding money that God allowed us to have the strength, the opportunity, and the places where we can go to use our mind, use our strength, use our physical presence as an influence for good for whatever business, company, or whatever service God has given us employment by. God made all those things possible. We just act like it was us. And then by making a joyful gesture of returning appreciation back to God is the first fruits that we're talking about, keeping first things first. And you ask Malachi, he'll tell you in 3:8, he said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Oh, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? The word of God says in tithes and offering. The tithe is 10% of your income. Whether you make that 10% your net or 10% of your gross, I just give 10% of what I get, and then when I get my income tax return, I get 10% of that too. And whenever I get a substantial amount, I give 10%. On top of the free will offerings to reach into my wallet and reach into my checkbook and just write a check, because I don't mind reciprocating my love for God back to his love for me. Luke 11:42 says, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. Wait a minute. Those ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Note why Lord Jesus himself says, Luke 11:42b, those ought you to have done. Talking about tithes. And not leave the other undone. Talking about tithes and offerings. Yeah, that's fine. Break off a tenth of whatever you feel is appropriate to God. But don't pass over love while you're giving. The Bible tells us, he said, man, that when you come with your offering, don't do it begrudgingly. God is saying, if you got to make an ugly face and ball up that little raggedy $5 bill that you got, keep it. God has said, I'm more interested in the spirit of your giving than that dollar amount. The Bible says that God says, all the silver and gold is mine. This God talking, not me. Y'all know I ain't got it. He said, all the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. God is going to break it down and keep it real just for us, because he wants to see who is going to recognize the love of God. And just by these simple physical manifestation that God blesses with, are you going to reciprocate? Because I promise you, it is so true. A person's heart is where he spends his time and his money. That's how you can find out for yourself. And that the true men of God, because we'd be talking about all they want to do is just, you know, take money from that man, that preacher. He just got that big car and all them clothes and that big house and people in that congregation suffering. Let me tell you something. There are people that are in the church that are perpetrating that they are of God. But there are what the Bible calls tares mixed in with the wheat. Look just like saved folk, look just like pastors. But when it comes to exhibiting the love of God, that's when they come up short and that's when they are exposed. And that the true men of God in leadership are those who deal fairly with membership and all church business. But what many people miss is the pretenders in the church, and the Bible calls them wolves in sheep's clothes, who are guilty of thievery, robbery, and financial abuses. And I know this, Acts 20 and 29 says that after my departing, this is Paul speaking, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This is where individual believers are instructed, y'all, to be wise in the Bible reading, interpretation, studying, meditation, and the application of the word of God. Don't forget that part. You can get a head knowledge of all the scriptures and memorize all of it. But if it's not being applied to your life, it's just head knowledge, and it does not count in the eyesight of God of anything fruitful, of anything of concern, of anything of any weight and validity that would glorify God, for clarity in living, and for pronouncing the truth to those in the church and outside of the safe ark of the church, for wisdom from above. So when we are emboldened with the true light and knowledge of God, we gladly bear all that God asks. And then some is true signs of love and appreciation back to God. Here you go, God. I'm happy to give it. I'm glad that you chose me to be able to give it. But most of all, I'm excited and happy that you saved me. That after this earthly journey is over, heaven will be our home, face to face with the one who made all things, known and unknown, and to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And also as encouragers to those around us to see the beneficial results. When we walk hand in hand with the will and the awesome ways of God, God will move in favor of our lives far above and beyond any amount of money that we would unwisely keep to ourselves. And then finally, Acts 20 and 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then finally, Luke 6 and 30, it says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. You ain't got to wait till you get to heaven. There's men right here that God is going to point to bless you. For with the same measure that you meet with all that you give, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. Amen. And amen again. That's the word of God right here on this fire gospel experience, letting you know that God is a blesser and that he will always continue to bless us. And we're grateful, God. We say, thank you, God. And I just want to share with you what I shared on my Facebook page. We have a God that loves us so. I promise you, he is going to bless us up over and above anything that we could possibly ask or think. I am a living witness to that as well. So with one final word, I would like to just share with you, we may not have had an earthly father to raise us, but our Father in heaven made us the apple of his eye. And amen, and amen, and amen again. I thank you all for listening and supporting this fire gospel experience. I'm praying that the good Lord will bless you over and abundant, even above all of your prayers. I believe the peace of God will reside in your heart and bless you, bless your family. So keep the faith. Keep trusting in the Lord Jesus until he come or until our earthly journey is done. And I promise you, your life will be fully abundant throughout many generations, even after our lives have been completed here on this earth. Generations will bless our name and be thankful that we stayed faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen goes right there. Here's man of God, Bo Williams, talking about God kept me. I don't know if y'all remember Bo Williams, but he was back there in the day when those contestant shows were first being started. Bo Williams, man, I think everybody expected him to go into R&B or soul music or whatever it was. But Bo Williams said, no, no, no. I'm going to do like I've always done. I'm going to sing God's praises. I'm going to give him the praise. I'm going to give him the glory. And I love him for that, because that is a singing brother. He got it going on like that. So just until the next fire gospel experience, God be blessed in the beautiful name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, because he is worthy. And yes, just like man of God Bo is about to say, he's a keeper.
Oh, yeah. I remind myself that we serve a God of victory, and say I know my God will triumph once again. Turn to your neighbor and say, my God.
Share the bill, 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 share the